Paul, what can you tell us today about the status of Jacob Trouba?
Nothing yet, so he's going to go see some specialists here today, other than he was feeling pretty darn good when he came in, which tells you nothing in these situations. So we need to get a few days on him. It was better to feel good than not, but it'll take a few days before we fully understand the extent of it.
So that's obviously a positive for the near future anyway?
Yeah, you know, like I said, he'll see the specialist today and they'll give us a good idea of where we're at today. And it's usually 2 or 3 days before you find out which direction it goes, whether it's going to be longer term. Not always, but it's happened in the past. So, like I said, we'll get a diagnosis later today and then we'll move forward.
Has Joe Morrow done well since coming in here and really catching your eye?
Skated and moved the puck the right way. So he's comfortable in making the first open, easy pass. He's not trying to prove himself. He's not trying to, show an offensive side that involves a lot of risk. But he skated well on retrievals, and he's moved the puck quickly on the tape.
Any update on anybody else that didn't skate today? Is everybody okay for tomorrow's game?
Everybody's okay. Change in direction with Dmitry Kulikov. So he had planned, had a couple of opinions on his injury, had met with surgeons, decided, and it's never clearly one way or the other that he should go. So when he met for his final consult, he had, and again, it's the player's choice with what he wants to do. He's going to forego surgery. There are other remedies with this. So he didn't have surgery today. We're probably looking, instead of 8 weeks to the first update, we're probably looking at 4 weeks now to the first update on where he's at, 3 to 4 weeks. And hopefully everything settles down, heals, and he's a player for us sooner.
Would that be something, Paul, that where surgery's just put off, that he'll still need it at some point?
Not necessarily. No, it is. It's one of two options in how to treat the injury. And he's been through it before, so he understands it very well. But it's not a definite thing that he has to have surgery on.
Just to clarify on Jacob Trouba, would he be in concussion protocol? Is that what
correct?
We're talking
so
about?
you don't get diagnosed with a concussion post game. They'll keep you out of a game because you have concussion symptoms, and they list all of them. But you need to go see a doctor or a specialist who handles that, and then they'll pass down, yes, we believe he has a concussion. That's where I think it's at. We just don't have final confirmation on that, and then we just move along. And what happens is you start waiting days to see if you keep those symptoms. What's changed maybe over the last few years, they found that players can be active while they still have some symptoms. If they're slight enough, they can get lightly on the bike, and then it just progresses to a point where he can get on the bike, push himself real hard, there's no symptoms, you wait the next day and you put him on the ice lightly and you move through. So there's no defined timeline, but there is a procedure that you have to go through.
And there's no other injury that's being looked at for him?
Correct.
Just maybe another thought or two on Brian Little moving to the wing and keeping Andrew Kopp for now at center. First of all, do you envision that as a longer-term thing, or is this just more of an experiment at this point in time?
Not overly. I think the other thing you may end up seeing at some point is those two flipping and Andrew playing the right. You find late in games, we want to use Brian on the wing. I want to give him a few reps in there. I've really liked the way Andrew Kopp has played at center with Nicky and Patty. I think he helped them in their game and in a certain style of game. It made them a better player. I want to leave that Andrew came into this league as a center. There's about 3 or 4 other factors in there that are things that I don't pass along to everybody. But the big thing right now is that Andrew's played well there, so we're going to leave him there.
Right, and maybe you can answer this, but my next question is going to be, is there something potentially hindering Brian from taking faceoffs? He's one of your top faceoff guys.
Even if there was, I wouldn't tell you, right? So we're clear on that?
Absolutely.
What happens when, this is an off topic, but what happens when you have a lot of guys out of your lineup? The bigger problem is the guys in the lineup are dealing with small things. We have guys that absolutely can play games, so I would say they're not injured, but we keep them off the ice, you know, strains, bruises, things like that, just to heal them in their off days.
Last one, but he's obviously a veteran, been here a long time. Is it a tough sell to him at all to say we're moving you from, you used to be our number one center, we're going to move you to the wing now, or is he in?
Well, if it was, I wouldn't. Right? So I really value Brian as a player. And he's just as good a pro and a good man. If there was real strong difficulty in this that he was adamant, I wouldn't do it. So he's had some success in the NHL playing on the wing. I don't see it long term necessarily, but having Andrew Kopp get more time there, there's a real value to that because it keeps me from having to move then Wheeler into the middle if we lost a center. We give Andrew a little bit more time there, more reps. There's a payoff to this.
I just want to go back a little bit to the PK from last night. In terms of the shots that you know are a little bit more okay to give up versus the ones from in close, all the publicly available stuff says that you guys are in fact doing a really good job of it. It's not coming from the center. How does the decision making process go between forwards when switching from the top, from rotating from the top when the puck gets moved
right
to the sides?
So we have rules that we like to follow, and I'm not giving them to you because they would help you understand what we're trying to do. But the general term would be, clearly we would identify a certain player. So if you just will go back, and I don't know if I got all my numbers right, but I think going into the game, you would have had Seguin at 13, Ben at 8, Radulov at 7. Klingberg at 1, and when Shore's on the wing, 2 on the weak side. What was interesting about last night for me as a coach is they ran at about 41% in their last 7 games, but completely changed their set for our game. So Seguin had been in the slot, and he had scored against Montreal, and he had scored against Ottawa, and had a great shot against Anaheim from the slot. So it went half-wall goal line into the slot, into the back of the net, similar to what Mark Scheifele scores from that hole. So they had none of that. They had been on his natural side instead of on the one-timer side, and they moved people completely around. So when that happens, then you just got to follow the rules that we'll use, forget the names on the back and who they are. What hand is he? What hand is he passing to? Who's in the slot? Those kind of things. So we have a foundation that if you didn't know who the player was, you could read their hands, how those hands connect across the ice. Is the one-timer up top on one side, or is it on? That's how we decide how we move.
It makes sense to me that they would avoid the, Ben, pardon me, in the slot, because that's where you have particularly strong coverage. I'm wondering in terms of preparing and the gamesmanship as you get into the playoffs, where you're going to see some of the same power plays for an extended period of time. Does that change anything in your decision making, or what?
You'll make an adjustment on how they move their people around, and so let's just work against ours instead. It might be easier. You probably want to make sure Patty doesn't get that shot off, but he keeps seem to be able to get that shot off because you're going to cover for the most part either Scheifele or Patty, and if you cover those two, then you're going to get an opportunity for Stastny to roll to the back door or Blake Wheeler shoot the puck. At the end of it, if they did that and you wanted to work up top, Bufflin would have a lane. It would cause a lane. If you're going to cheat on Patty, there's going to be a lane there, so the shot. So as you've got your plans. Here's the best example. Over the last 12 years, everybody's known Washington's power play. And yet you can't stop it. So you're still short a guy, right? Nobody has a guy out there. You don't get a guy. They've got one more than you, so you've got to move. There's somebody open. There's a lane. At the end of it, the coaching doesn't matter. It's all how they execute. They move the puck faster than you can recover. They're getting a shot, and if it's Ovechkin or Laine, those kind of shots are going in.
What was the impetus behind the structural change to your penalty kill that you brought in at the end of last year and sort of worked from there this year?
You take a look at every chance against, and you put them into boxes and themes of where are the most coming from. We were really poor on entries, and we were really poor working across the umbrella. So we did two things to try to fix that. We're much better on our entries, and where we give up our shots are more defined. So this isn't anything earth-shattering. Everybody's doing this, right? Best practices. Then you take the 5 best power play PK teams in the league, and you watch every PK they have. They're all different. They all value certain things that they want to be good at, but you can find themes in there. Face-offs have improved, our clears have improved, but all of that means nothing because our goaltender's better. You know, we've given him a better shot. But just look at Connor's all his entire game, 5-on-5. It's better. That has to happen, right? So that's been the really big difference.
And what role has discipline played in your improved penalty kill? Has that played a role at all?
Right, three pieces to the discipline part of it. One of us was we didn't want to be behind it. That was number one. So our original defensive positioning all over the ice has gotten better. We're above the puck when we're supposed to be. We're not chasing from behind. We're not reaching in. So we spent a whole lot of time on that. The second piece was when you do get to the one-on-one, how do you handle it? So not necessarily deficit, you're not reaching in, but we took an awful lot of holding penalties. We had two defensemen take over 50% of our holding penalties. How do we handle that one-on-one? That was all of training camp. And that was a big chunk. And then the last piece of it was kind of working on all the penalties that we took in video. And we spent, we had a big piece of our training camp was built just on that.
Just for tomorrow, would Schrott go back on the right, or do you bring Morrow in, or is it that simple? Or is
whatever Pullman Charlie wants to do.
Pullman would be considered.
Might be Pullman. Could be.
See you at the skate.
Lots of intrigue.
Thanks.
There once again, fellas, got to have something to bring you all back. Sure not my speeches.
You explained how Laine is getting open on the power play. How would you say he's evolved in his 2 years and his ability to get open, when it's even up?
So I would think that he was pretty darn good at it when he showed up, to be honest with you, Sean. Like, I mean, he's learned to read different personnel. So he wasn't – we go back a year when we just about – got car bombed because Patty wasn't on the number one unit in people's minds. It's because he wanted a hole. We have so many righties and we worked the power play from that side, and that's not what he wanted. He wanted the power play work from the other side where we are working it now, but we use lefties to do it for Matty Perreault and Nicky Ehlers, and it wasn't particularly good. So what's the changes? We've moved Blake Wheeler over as a lefty, basically, a right-hand shot as a lefty. So the power play doesn't run through Patty. It comes to Patty or Schreifer or the other players. But so he's in the spot that he wanted. So things have changed for him. I think he's always been good at it. If there's one area of improvement there, it's not finding the holes. It's not reading the game better. It's his puck retrievals and what happens to him when it comes to the wall. That was an area that he needed to get better at, like any kid that comes in, right? But he's better at protecting the puck when it does come to his side. Like when you watch Washington's power play, when it comes to Ovechkin, if it's not a shot, he just rips it across the ice to get it back to the other side. He rims it back around, or he'll throw it straight across through a hole because he doesn't want the puck on that side of the ice. So Patty's learned how to manage that quite well now.
So you said he was good when he came into the league at that. Obviously, as he's, done what he's done, more attention from other teams gets directed towards him. So did he just come into the league with this innate ability to find that space and no one can figure out how to take it away from him?
Yes and no. Yes, a lot of this is innate. Like, he finds the holes, right? And all of those guys, go back to Brett Hull, they find the empty holes. It's a talent. It's a skill. But again, like you said about Washington's power play, they've been running the same thing for 12 years. The guy's still you're short a guy. So if you can go over and stand by Patty if you want, and then Mark Scheifele's got a shooting gallery in the middle, right? There's you're short a guy, so you've got to cover it off.
Brian Little, I was just talking with him, and he said, I'd like to say I watch Patrick, and it does what he does doesn't surprise me anymore, but it still does. Is there anything about his game that you still kind of find yourself shaking your head at or surprised by?
Yeah, I think he can get a lot better, and that's it's a compliment, right? So he's got whatever he's got, 43, and I've left the bench in games more surprised that he hasn't scored 4 or 5 on a given night than how did that go in. I'm like every fan in the building, honest to God. When he shoots that puck from anywhere, I think there's a chance this thing's going in. So we can have the exact same shot by all 20 players. You're only going to get the crowd to sound a certain way when he shoots it. But at the end of the day, when I look at this guy, I think he has an interest in really getting better. He's not going to just rely on that shot. I'd like to see him develop his entire game. Be a very, very special player for a long time.